We knew what the very early markers of autism spectrum disorder were. So these types of early markers were things like deficits in eye contact or in responding to your name when someone calls you or in responding to others by imitating them, in showing them things, in engaging in pretend play. But what wasn't available were screening tools that could actually use these markers reliably to identify autism. We designed a program called the Social Attention and Communication Surveillance Study. And we trained maternal and child health nurses to monitor these very early markers in very young children from 1 to 2 years of age, and then if identified as at risk for autism, to refer these children for an autism assessment.
Your work also involves children from China. Some 10,000 babies have been tested. How useful has this methodology been, and how receptive has the government been to this method of testing?
After implementing the surveillance program in March and running it for about 6 months, the government of Tianjin agreed to actually use this surveillance program over the next 7 years for every single baby born in Tianjin. So 100,000 babies are born every year, and about 80,000 babies actually do attend their regular health checks. So this is really quite extraordinary. It's something like these sample sizes that we can have for research in China are huge. So it's fantastic for research, but it's also fantastic, obviously, for families, so that we can actually work together with families and try and identify children early, and so we can begin early intervention, which improves their outcomes.
Unfortunately, the idea of an autistic child carries a lot of stigma in Asia. How does early detection help parents and children cope with the condition better?
Yeah, so I think, that issue of stigma is a big one, particularly in China, as autism was not recognised as an official diagnosis until 2006. And there has been a history, and obviously still continues to be history, of there being this stigma surrounding the word autism or just disability in general. And so we are trying to work hard, not just to train practitioners, but to try and have an education program around what autism is, so that families can be educated about what autism is, what red flags are, and why it's actually important. We don't want to identify autism for the sake of identifying autism. The reason why we do this is so that we can implement early intervention, so prior to 2 years of age, so that we can maximise children's outcomes. And so if we can try and work together to decrease the stigma and show that children with autism can lead quite fulfilling lives, many of them lead very independent lives and fulfilling lives like children without autism.
Your team is interested in reaching out to a number of countries, and many of them, I notice, are from Asia. Is autism a growing problem in Asia? Do you see that there's not enough attention given to this condition?
Yeah, it's not necessarily that it's a growing problem in Asia specifically. It's that these countries are ones that have been particularly interested in this technique because it is something that can be implemented quite easily in different contexts. And so, the UK, the USA, they have screening tools that they have developed, screening tool questionnaires, which actually don't have very good results at all. They're not very sensitive. They're not very specific. But they are currently using these tools, so they're not necessarily looking for something else. However, the surveillance program that we have developed and implemented has gained a lot of interest from these Asian countries because they can see that actually it's something that they could use and utilize and at a very low cost. It only takes about a day training, even with translations.